say your prayers.
And this was a moment when Carpenter realized she was having some sort of breakdown.
And everybody in the mine's gone insane.
Well, whatever used to live here, we woke it up.
He knew exactly what movie he was making, which feels like a giant middle finger to Hollywood.
Second time I saved your life.
Yeah, run it, Tab!
When asked why Quentin Tarantino would stop making films after his 10th, he was quoted as saying, "I don't want to become this old man who's out of touch when it comes to the current movies that are out there right now." And, quote, "Usually, their worst movies are their last movies. That's the case for most of the Golden Age directors that ended up making their last movies in the late 60s and 70s. Then that ended up being the case for most of the new Hollywood directors who made their last movies in the late 80s and the 90s. While the saying, all art is subjective, may be true, I can't help but feel this statement has some merit behind it. When it comes to horror, even the greats lose their touch towards the end. It often becomes the classic tale of master storyteller succumbing to what's relevant to the times instead of delivering a powerful mic drop to finish off what made them great in the first place. Just look at My Soul to Keep. Today, we will focus on one master of horror in particular and one of his final movies in his incredible filmography. Try to count how many cross-dissolved shots are in this thing as we find out what the f*** happened to this horror movie. Before we get down to figuring out the nitty-gritty on what exactly went wrong here, I just want to point out we absolutely love Carpenter, and even covered him and select film of his on our channel. For this writer, as well as many fans out there, he is the main reason I got into the genre. It's easy to say his true reign as a masterful storyteller was in the 80s, but his work in the 90s often gets slept on. In the Mouth of Madness is a true horror masterpiece, and we've already shouted out our love for vampires a few episodes back on The Black Sheep. But with every new decade comes a new style of filmmaking. By the time Ghosts of Mars released, reviews were so poor that I couldn't bring myself to seeing it and making my own opinion. 19 years later, I finally delved in with an open mind. I mean, it couldn't be that bad, could it? Well, I'll get to that in a moment. Set in 2176, Ghosts of Mars shows us a world where the red planet has been terraformed to reflect Earth's atmosphere due to overpopulation. While special spacesuits aren't needed, breathing apparatuses are at times. Through a series of flashbacks, and flashbacks within flashbacks, it opens with Natasha Henstridge's drug-addicted Lieutenant Melanie Ballard of the Mars Police Force giving a testimony on what happened during her team's disastrous mission to retrieve criminal James Desolation Williams, played here by Ice Cube. Other notable members of MPF include certified badass Pam Grier as Commander Helena Braddock, Clea Duvall as Officer Bashira Kincaid, and Jason Statham as Sergeant Jericho Butler. While the cast was certainly strong here, it was originally different. First, let's get to the character Desolation Williams. If his character traits and cool nickname sound familiar, that's because it has long been rumored Ghosts of Mars started out as a sequel to Escape from LA titled Escape from Mars. But due to the lack of success from that film, studios were no longer interested in pursuing another entry. So the script was rewritten and Snake was changed to Desolation. While there has been no confirmation on that, it's still worth noting. Even if his wife and producing partner, Sandy King Carpenter, has disproven it, I like to live in a world where that rumor is true. As for the character Melanie Ballard, the role was originally given to Courtney Love and even began preparing for training until the ex-wife of her then-boyfriend ran over her foot with a freaking Volvo, thus not being able to finish the training required. Other names were suggested, like Michelle Yeoh and Famke Janssen, but Henstridge won the part. Finally, while Statham certainly has the star power now, he didn't have enough power to the studio's liking at the time for Desolation Williams, so the role went to rapper-turned-actor Ice Cube. Upon reaching their destination to pick up the criminal, Ballard and her team find the area, which was inhabited by miners, has mostly been deserted. In another series of flashbacks, we find the miners found a secret doorway that was created by an earlier civilization. Once opened, it unleashed the ghosts of the ancient Martians and possesses the bodies of the workers, with its main antagonist bearing a striking resemblance to a ripped Marilyn Manson. Ballard assumes control once her leader is found beheaded, and now must fight to survive along with the help of their prisoner, Desolation. However, once the host is killed, the spirit finds another body to inhabit. Yet, for some reason, they continue killing these things, which doesn't bode well for our heroes. At one point, Ballard also becomes possessed, and just before she is taken out, Ice Cube feeds her drugs. Even though it's probably not Friday, she has a job and shit to do. The hallucinogenic drug, called Clear, immediately brings her back to normal and immune to any possessions. Clearly, not listening to DARE assemblies in school worked out here in her favor. Normally, I stay away from spoiler territory as we reach the end, but for a film over 2 decades old that lets you know right off the bat what happened to the Mars Police Force, I'll get right to it. As it turns out, Desolation was innocent of his crimes, and the handful of the crew that are left end up hauling ass to the train. Even though the ancient civilization feels their planet has been invaded and are simply fighting for it, Ballard decides, quote, fuck their home, and takes her team back to the canyon to nuke the whole area by overloading the outpost's nuclear power plant. Upon getting the power plant ready to blow, their plan is interrupted by the Woodstock 99 crowd, and an all-out brawl ensues. Ballard and Desolation are now the only two left alive as they escape onto the train while the power plant explodes. Ballard then wakes up to Desolation handcuffing her to the bed to avoid being taken to the authorities. Back to the present. After Ballard finishes her testimony, she finds her city is under attack from the spirits she thought she had wiped out. Readying herself to fight once again, she is met with Desolation, who hands her a gun and delivers a very Ice Cube thing to say.
Tide is up. Time to stay alive.
Ghosts of Mars began filming in August of 2000 in a gypsum mine in New Mexico, mostly at night. To recreate the surface of Mars, the pure white minerals were dyed red with a biodegradable coloring. Production ended up having to shut down for a week due to Natasha Henstridge falling ill due to exhaustion. According to the commentary track, which is a fun listen if you get the chance, Carpenter suggests their illness was partly related to filming in a gypsum mine, but she attributes it to filming so many movies back to back. According to her filmography, Natasha had 6 films in the year 2000 alone, so taking that into account and then jumping on to an action film with a week before shooting with barely any training would certainly wear anyone out. If you look at the shot just after Ballard and Butler share a random and out-of-place kiss, she is noticeably crying, and this was a moment when Carpenter realized she was having some sort of breakdown. Once production resumed, everything seemed to be smooth sailing until it wrapped principal photography on October 31st. Quite the fitting day for him to wrap, I must say. The film had a lot of things going for it. A killer cast, great practical effects by the legendary KNB team of Robert Kurtzman, Greg Nicotero, and Howard Berger, and of course, John Carpenter. Once again, Carpenter returns to score the film with his trusty synth, but this time he invited members of the metal group Anthrax, guitarist Buckethead, and other rock musicians to contribute to the more action set pieces. Every day on set, Carpenter would remind cast and crew that the film was, quote, the biggest piece of shit he's ever made to make the mood lighter on set. His attention was to make a film that was not to be taken seriously, akin to action films of the 80s. To that end, I feel it succeeded with cheeseball dialogue and over-the-top action. The film could be summed up as a Volume 2 greatest hits compilation of his career, one that has some good stuff on there, but not good enough to be on Volume 1. He knew exactly what movie he was making, which feels like a giant middle finger to Hollywood, very on brand for him. However, upon release, the film was met with disastrous reviews from critics and fans, and ranks among the lowest of his career. The ultimate failure of Ghosts of Mars resulted in Carpenter stepping away from filmmaking until returning again with The Ward in 2010. Since then, he hasn't stepped back into the director's chair and has enjoyed his life making music with his son Cody and playing video games. Recently, he had produced the recent Halloween sequels, as well as scoring them. Say what you want about those films, but the scores are fantastic. He has even toyed around with the idea of stepping back into the filmmaking world, adapting a live-action Dead Space. As for Ghosts of Mars, look, this film is unanimously known as a dud all around. And like I said before, it was the reason why I avoided it for so many years. But I'm glad to have finally seen it. Well, it's indeed messy, with its odd structure, overuse of cross dissolves, and side swipes that would make George Lucas cream in his pants. I have to admit, I got what he was going for, and I had a hell of a time with it. It's definitely more entertaining than the other Red Planet films that came out at the time. So gather some friends together, crack open a few drinks, and just enjoy the ride. Because in the end, a lesser John Carpenter doing what he loves is better than no John Carpenter film at all.
Ground, you speak of whiskey and it's Markham bound.